Hello and welcome to Sproffcast, the English language broker but no podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And summer is officially over.
Is it? Well, I mean, it's raining today, but it's been really nice the last few days.
It's been getting cold in the evenings, I felt.
Okay, I'll give you that. But yeah, it is slashing down today. But that doesn't mean that we can't still have fun in the podcasting sun.
Absolutely. And before we get into that, David,
yes.
I'd just like to say something to our listeners. So, listeners, as podcasters, we don't always get it right. Due to a clerical error in the last Sproffcast, there was erroneously a preview for a game against FC Vysočina Jihlava. That game is still to take place. That game was never to take place in the last 2 weeks, and instead it was supposed to be for FC Opava. You know, if you're looking for accurate podcasts or whatever, you know, Podcast Flinta is there for you. If you're looking for a podcast in English, it's Sproffcast, and I'll try to do better next time for all of you, I promise. And I would especially like to thank Opava for and the team for getting whatever, I don't know, diarrhea or something, which has, you know, stopped that game from taking place. It won't happen again. So thank you very much for your patience.
Well said. Right. One game has happened, and that was Kudim. And then another game has happened, and that was Bohanica.
Yes.
So let's talk about that and then that one quite quickly. Now, one of the things that did come up in the preview of the game against Kudim was that, obviously, it would be played on a terrible, awful pitch. Neither of us realising, of course,
that they're not playing in Kudim. This was the... Dear listener, a podcast... I just had a complete nightmare the last episode. I'd forgotten entirely that they were playing their games in Pardubice. So off to Pardubice they went.
Yes. And it was the first major shift in personnel and shape we've seen this season after the defeat to Prostějov.
Yes.
Where everyone looked a little bit devoid of ideas and Prostějov insisted on being Prostějov. So we moved to a 3-4-2-1. Degran, Žitný and Klima were unavailable. That may have been something to do with what put the kibosh on the Opava thing.
Mm-hmm.
You immediately get three players out for undisclosed reasons, and then the rest of the team out for basically the same undisclosed reason. So Kaká made his...
No, I mean, that might have been what happened, but... sorry.
Kaká made his debut within the squad. And also a Brazilian defender came in, making his first start in a back three with Hoffman and Vedral, pushing Yuroshka forward to become a wing back with Kutík filling the role on the other side, Čavoš and Janecký in the middle, and Selnar and Kanakimana supporting, and we are now duty bound to say this, big Oli Velich up front. And as predicted in the preview from the last episode, it was a tough test against East Bohemia's finest, who are incredibly good at just frustrating teams, much in the same way Prostějov were, but we also played into Prostějov's hands.
Yeah, I mean, as a sort of a... it gives me just the ick just saying this, but as a progressive ball-carrying team, David, you know, it doesn't really work against, you know, a team like that. They are sort of very stuffy. They're absolutely on you. You don't really get a yard ever on them. And it's always going to be, you know, really difficult to break down a team like that. We're not traditionally good at breaking down teams.
No. And so it proved. It was a goalless and fairly cagey first half. The chances few and far between. One for David Bauer, firstly blocked by your own personal Hoffman. A Čavoš free kick that was almost poked home by big Oli Velich, but saved by the magnificently bearded from the highlights, Adam Richter, in the Kudim goal. Absolutely, like, not even shaven-headed, just going bald in a kind of Charlton style, but with a massive fucking beard on him.
Mountain man.
Yeah, yeah, slightly balding mountain man. Very odd.
Looks like the sort of guy that can, you know, could get away with just like carrying around an axe.
Yeah. And a Kanakamana shot that went over the bar, and that was pretty much it for the first half. The breakthrough comes on 50 minutes as a Hridin corner comes to nothing except to find its way out to Kanakamana on the halfway line, almost already past Hridin's suicidally high defensive line, who are all in our half, and therefore Kanakamana is not offside. Whoever is the last man back, still in our half, misses his header. And it's Kanakamana on his own. And he's more than quick enough to outstrip a kind of sort of
a lumbering Hridin back line.
Yeah, absolutely clod-hopping Hridin back four. Yeah. And yeah, he gets forward, takes a couple of touches, rounds Richter and just slots it home quite easily. And there you go, 1-0. Yeah, I mean, yeah, what a goal, dear me. His celebration is excellent as well. Like,
remind me of the celebration.
He runs to the stand where the camera is, and is like, and just before all the players come off the bench to like surround him, he just goes to the camera and just screams "Kurva!" really loudly, which is excellent.
I'll tell you what, they did not show that in the goal clip on social media, which I saw in a bar in Bosnia, I think it was.
Yeah, more on that later, by the way. And yeah, Kronos comes on for Benny about 10 minutes later, almost makes it 2, only for his shot to be saved at point-blank range by Richter, and Hridin have a chance to equalise in the 88th minute, only for Dennis Kaulfus, excellent name, to somehow screw it wide from 8 yards, doesn't even hit the target. And we rode our luck for the last 10 minutes, but yeah, a 1-0 away at one of the trickiest places we'll go this season is... Mm-hmm. A good solid 3 points, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I mean, it's about winning on the road.
Yeah.
I think, because like let's just forget last season ever happened, right? But traditionally, we're not very good on the road. I say that because last season, we only got points on the road for a long time. So if you can get your home form just ticking over as it's supposed to, especially now you have a big crowd, good looking surface again these days, even if we have two teams on it, and you can start getting these, you know, scruffy 1-0 jobs against Hrudim, against Usti that look decent, against like an Opava, then, you know, you should be, you know, doing just fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Shall we very briefly go on to the cup game while we're here?
Yes.
Okay, because on the following Wednesday, we were away again, but only away as far as Southwest Brno, to take on your friends and mine, Tatran Bohanica. And it was an absolutely routine stroll in the sort of late afternoon sunshine as Roka ran out 4-0. Winners, a relatively strong side sent out, with a new loan signing Matuš Slavíček getting his first start in the goal, plus Texel, Vacholček, Přečka and Araujo Wilson among those not usually seen as starters. Araujo Wilson was the first to score after 9 minutes, with a half bookended by Jakub Klima getting the second with an Araujo Wilson assist. And the second half was simply Zbrojovka not doing anything silly and not getting anyone booked or injured. And I don't know why, just for the fun of it, Svedic sent big Oli Velik on for the final 10 minutes, and he spent that time utterly bullying a shell-shocked Bohanica backline, getting himself 2 goals in 6 minutes just for the fuck of it.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is just actually what you want.
It was textbook.
Yeah. Well, listen, so we don't do this. Like, other teams do this. Like, so you will get someone like Tabor playing some victims from the 50 or whatever and running out 12-0 or whatever. As we learned from the first round of the Cup, we don't do that at all. We scrape through these things. So this one was the epitome of professionalism in the sense of you get to really, in terms of a gap in quality, an unassailable lead, right? And then you just sort of swag it out, and then maybe you have a little bit of, you know, give some people some time in the legs, and you, you know, get onto that. get your name into the hat rather. And we've been rewarded in some ways by getting a draw at home against Teplice.
Yes. The final person getting minutes in their legs for this club, at least, is Justin Araujo Wilson, who has now sodded off to Cromerich.
Yes. Was it a loan with an option or permo?
Loan with an option, I think. And he's been replaced by Regino Sicilia, 6'6" of Curaçaoan.
Yes. He's shaking your confidence, baby.
Well, that remains to be seen. He's had a relatively interesting career.
Yes, well-versed in this.
Yes, he's had two periods at Slovacko, interspersed with... he left Slovacko with... the quote is, without saying goodbye 2 weeks before the end of the season in his first stint there, because he got picked up by NAC Breda. Who were clearly going to be paying him probably more than Slovacko were.
Sure.
And it was in the Netherlands, playing in the top league. So, yeah, off you pop. And off he duly popped. He also played for Port Vale for a season.
Robbie Williams is Port Vale.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, he's been around. Three stints in the Netherlands, one in England, two periods at Slovacko.
I'm more excited about having experience in the top flight of the Netherlands than what I believe is League One side.
League One, yeah.
So,
as they were then, I'm not sure where they are now. Yeah. I assume still League One. I haven't checked for a while. Yeah.
Can do a job, for sure, I think, in a team like this, because we're now slowly but surely, whisper it, getting something that we've not had for a while, which is squad depth.
Yes.
And that's really nice. And, of course, if the rumour mill is anything to go by today, we might be getting further depth, of
Yes. Some unpronounceable Macedonian.
Georgiev.
I only briefly skimmed over his surname.
Martin Georgiev.
I didn't take much time to actually look at it.
Sorry, Georgievski, even. Because I forget. They're all skis down there, a bit like Yihlava. But Martin Georgievski, he's under 21 Macedonian, isn't he? I think he might have had a couple of first-team Macedonians. Appearances as well, but a central sort of midfielder, as far as I'm told. And it would be very, very funny if Borovka Brno beat off Stephen Presley's Dundee for his signature.
Indeed, yes. There were times in his very briefly early successful period at Coventry when lots of fans were looking to beat off Stephen Presley, but that didn't last that long. So
vanished.
But yeah. Banished he was. Anyway, on that slightly vomit-inducing note, do you want to do hot or not, or shall we do a bit about... Actually, no, let's do hot or not, and then we'll do a weird thing third.
Sure.
It's time for your hots and your nots and your nothings in between.
Indeed.
Yeah. Gimme.
Okay. I'll go for the hot because I think this is one that everyone will have seen, but I enjoyed it so much that I had to put it in.
Okay.
Which is Peter Crouch as a football mascot.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So Peter Crouch, apparently in last season's fantasy league, he finished bottom. So his forfeit was to be a club mascot, and therefore it came out amongst a bunch of children holding a grown man's hand as a sponsor, as a mascot of Farnham Town.
Yeah.
Which is a nice boost for a club in the seventh tier of the Football League system because everyone's talking about it. So,
yes, yeah.
And he looked like he had a genuinely fantastic day.
I mean, he always looks like he's having a pretty good time whatever he's doing.
He's just had a good life, hasn't he?
Yeah, seems like a nice bloke.
Pretty good career, successful podcast, quite funny.
Fair play.
So yeah, listen, you have
fair
to
play.
Say, Mr. Crouch.
Yeah, I've got a knot for you.
Go on.
No pints at Scottish football.
Yeah,
what's that about?
We've never had pints at Scottish football.
I didn't know this.
I have told you this before, surely. So we have not had it for at least since the 1970s, because there are two teams in Scotland, I'll let you guess who can't be trusted around alcohol and things like that, and it led to a lot of antisocial behaviour. So you cannot get a drink whatsoever in a Scottish football stadium. You can in the stadium bar before or after the match if it's lower league, things like that. But you cannot have at all anywhere in the stands or anything, any alcoholic drink.
Yes. Okay. Well, that will be something to discuss later. Do you have a...
My not. Yes. Yeah. My not is from today, actually. It is the photo gallery uploaded by the Moldovan Football Association this afternoon.
Wow.
So you will have heard the score from last night's World Cup qualifier, which ended Norway 11, Moldova 1.
Yes.
Of which all 12 goals were scored by Norwegians, of course, because it was a known goal. I think Erling Haaland got 5 and your boy Asgard got 4 for the Rangers player. And still... the Moldovan FA decided to upload a photo gallery of 41 photos for this event, and it was basically just like a photo journal of people dying on their arse,
holding heads
hunched, you know, slumped. There are about 10 Moldovans waving flags in the stand in photo number 4, and they don't last long there. And a black day for Moldovan football. They said it is their record defeat. Previous defeat was 8-0 against Denmark in 2021.
They just really can't stand the Scandies, eh?
Exactly, yeah.
Absolutely awful, yeah.
I mean, they're also tiny and their league system's dreadful, but still, it's pretty bad. However, they did play a Dundee United player, so anyway...
I've got my final one, which is hot, and it's Carlisle United.
Carlisle
United, yes.
One of the only teams in the National League right now that aren't getting their games abandoned, it seems.
Yes, well, I mean, are teams getting them abandoned?
Oh, there's been like three games abandoned because of injuries to players in the last like 3 weeks or whatever. And then of course we're now getting Morecambe coming back.
Because historically one of the more called off sort of clubs, Carlisle, because it floods
all the time. Yeah.
Anyway, they gave a token to every away supporter from Truro City for a free pie and a free pint, which is, you know, lovely stuff. I checked on Google Maps to see how far it was from Truro to Carlisle. I already assumed a very long way because my geography of England is pretty good, and it's a drive of 7 hours, 50 minutes. On public transport, it says just over 8 hours, but this is British public transport, so it could be, I don't know, 3 days, 2 weeks, who knows?
That is crazy.
At a cost of £8,500.
I mean, there's, you know, that it's that sort of territory of a way trip that actually makes you think, do you not try and, like, fly from, like, Exeter Airport to Newcastle or something like that, you know? Or Edinburgh, even.
Yeah.
I think there's an airport in Exeter, right? There's definitely one in Bristol. So I would try and cut the journey myself, and, you know, with horrific ecological repercussions, but I'm not sitting in a car or loathe a supporter's coach for what I will bet is more than 8 hours if it's a coach, because you've got to have that limited speed limit.
Yeah. And also, you're going to get stuck at the... M6, M5 junction around Birmingham, because everyone always gets stuck there. But you get a lovely view of the Besket Stadium below you. So that was hot or not. Shall we talk about our non-Czech Football League adventures over the last couple of weeks?
Sure.
Let's do that. Right then, you and I have spent a couple of weeks in various places.
Yes.
And we got a couple of games in for various reasons. Yours because it was
my
Aberdeen,
team.
Yeah. And mine because...
You wanted to.
Yeah, because I happen to be somewhere with football on.
Yeah.
So, right, give us a little bit of backstory and tell us how it went. Following the Dons.
Badly. So, so I went to Bucharest to watch FCSB 3, Aberdeen 0, on what was a surprisingly cold Thursday night, actually. The one thing that I've found out about Bucharest, which, by the way, unbelievable city, very good indeed, is that it gets really, really, really fucking hot. So like 35, 36 degrees or whatever in the day. And then at night it goes down to about 10. Mm. So you have that real sort of contrast that you don't really get here in the summer, for example. But yeah, I mean, look, I think we had about 800 nice. Aberdonians there. At the very, very cheap price of £8 a ticket.
Oh, wow. Nice.
for the game. I mean, the reasons, it would have been a lot more, but it's there's no direct route right now. So my my auntie was there, for example, and she drove from Aberdeenshire to Edinburgh, mm-hmm. parked up there, flew Edinburgh to Copenhagen, Copenhagen to wow. Bucharest. So a lot of people had very similar very similar journeys. You know, some people just did the more traditional, you know, Bucharest to London. I think there is a flight maybe to London. And then, you know, on the way back. But it was pretty difficult to get there. And
you know,
the game was rubbish.
Who can help you find the cheapest flights? Kiwi.com.
Are they paying us money now?
No.
Are they actually paying us money for the
Absolutely
podcast?
Absolutely not, no.
Are you plugging your work?
Well, you know.
Are you looking to invest in the... No, I'm not. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, the game itself was nothing to write home about. Aberdeen's team still looks unbelievably poor.
Where are you in the league now? Are you still bottom? Absolutely rotten?
I mean, we've played three games, we haven't scored a goal, and we've lost everything.
That'll
every
be
game.
That, yeah.
So, but we've got some really interesting players coming in. We've got, you know, the Swedish international from Bologna. Picking up Stuart Armstrong on a free is
yeah.
a fun one as well. I still think he's got a little bit left in him, at
he's
least
got some
at this
about
level.
Stuart Armstrong, yeah.
So we'll see what happens. Esther Sokler's packed up on loan to somewhere in Serbia. Hopefully Yengi will do the same, so we might actually have people that can whisper it, score goals soon. So I'm not too worried just yet. The game itself, I thought Aberdeen were well on top for the first 40 minutes, and then just a horrific referee decision leads to not only Richard Jensen getting sent off, but also a penalty for handball, in which I have no idea, and I've seen it 20 times, I think, now. I don't know how he's supposed to get his hand out of the way. And also, we thought it had all stopped because he was going to give a penalty for some sort of foul because, my God, do FCSB throw themselves around like they've been brutally assaulted. Oh, it was just a really tedious game like that. And then, look, they're a better team than us. They have a bit more of a recent European pedigree than us. And, you know, they were able to swag it out when they're at home and had, you know, 11 players on the pitch.
Sure.
So it wasn't great. I did have a shawarma, which was the size and weight of a small child afterwards, though. So it's not all bad news.
Yeah.
But overall, yes, pretty nice trip. Before that, of course, I was in Banja Luka in
yep.
Bosnia. So they would like it to be Serbia. And unfortunately, they moved the game, the
yes,
Borac Banja Luka
yeah.
FC Sarajevo game, because I was looking very forward to that, and it didn't happen. And yeah, so c'est la vie.
Yeah,
but the good thing I should probably mention as well is that we are still in the Conference League.
Yes,
Aberdeen.
And who are you playing away?
Sparta Prague, baby!
Prague.
Absolutely perfect, isn't it? Because it's 2.5 hours down the road, and I fucking hate Sparta Prague anyway. So it'll be a good trip. Big Al Beaton coming over
nice.
For the match as well. So it should be
excellent.
Should be good. It'll be his first away game with the Dons in Europe for many, many a year. So yeah,
excellent. Right, I was in that Scotland. And I went to see Hibernian versus St Mirren.
Hi, Kenny.
That was not £8.
No, it was. was it a 20 in front of it?
Yes, there was, very much so. But what a magnificent place to watch football Easter Road is.
The newly, yeah. I say newly, they've had it upgraded for about 6 years now. But yeah, Easter Road's a fun
yeah.
one.
Yeah, just for... Big steep stands.
Can you still see over to Arthur's Seat?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lovely. They've got to the right of where I was. They've got that Block 7 trying to be European ultras mm-hmm. nonsense with their big flags and their drum, and that was a thing that happened. I had one of their famous macaroni pies. I don't know if they're famous, but you know, I just thought, you know,
there was a macaroni pie available.
Exactly. Yeah. £4.50. Yeah.
Got a pie at foot, by the
way. Yeah. And it was 1-1.
A better point for the away side, I would venture.
Yeah, St Mirren's goal, from a Hibs point of view, was really, really scrappy. It was a free kick from wide on the left, and it went in, and for some reason, every single Hibs player just stood still.
Yeah.
And whoever scored for St Mirren, Thistlethwaite or somebody like that, sort of ran in, and the ball sort of bounced off him and accidentally found its way in. And then Hibs scored about 5 minutes later, an equally crap goal, actually, a corner that sailed over the box, sort of skimmed off two people's heads. Their keeper missed it, and Rocky
Bashiri,
on the line to hammer it home. I had never heard of him, but he seems to be an absolute cult hero.
He is a cult hero, Rocky Bashiri, because he looked because for a while he was absolutely shite, and then was sort of still shite, but then kept scoring for them, and like particularly late goals was a Bashiri thing.
Yes. Now, I have two things to say about this. Number one, I was absolutely overjoyed to see both Grant Hanley and Junior Hoylett clanking about the gaff, which was excellent to see. The prodigal Martin Boyle, returning home from 13 games in Saudi Arabia and coming back. And after the game, I went back to Musselburgh, where I was staying with my folks, and went to a small pub on the waterfront called The Ship Inn. And it was full of Hibs fans who had already been to the game. And I think it was Villa Palace on the TV. And I sat down with a pint, and I was talking to a bloke. His name was Martin, and he was just sitting there by himself with a pint. And we got to talking, and he explained the Rocky Bashiri phenomenon. Yeah, saying basically exactly what you said. He's been there like 4 years. When a long ball comes over, he was like, "Ah, somebody's underneath it. Oh, it's Rocky," and absolutely shitting yourself. Yeah, but yeah, he seems to have come good. And on a weird note, I discovered that his daughter is the lead graphic designer for Aberdeen's social media.
Oh, really?
Yes. A small world that is, by the way.
Yeah. Small world. Scotland.
So, hello, Martin and Martin's daughter. Neither of you are listening, but hey.
Yeah. I like the look of that Hibs side this season, though, actually. I mean, maybe not as much as I like the look of Hearts, but yeah, who look particularly good. But also, they've got this boy, Kieran Bowie, as well, who's in amongst the Scotland setup now as well. He's fantastic for Hibs. So yeah, he's one to keep an eye on as well this season.
Yeah, but yeah, it's just a very entertaining afternoon out. I had a lovely time.
Good.
Well, there we go.
I was going to say a lot better than my evening with the Dons, but I was able to drink all day in Bucharest Old Town and then get a very good shawarma. So,
yes, I could not do that.
Mm-hmm. I'll just say, they kept us in for over an hour after the game had finished.
That seems too long.
It was, when you have friends that are waiting for you in a car outside, absolutely it is.
Yeah.
Who were in the home end. So it's right. Like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shall we do a preview?
Yes.
At least one.
Previews, huh?
Previews, huh?
You've got the right ones this time. So,
have we?
Yeah, so rather than... Well, okay, so I mean, on Sunday we are playing Viktoria Žižkov away.
That's right.
After this we are then playing Jihlava. And then on the 24th we are playing Teplice in the Cup. So for everyone who is listening, if you want a preview of the Jihlava game, I refer you to the previous broadcast episode, because I'm not doing it twice.
That's really what I hoped you were going to say.
Yes.
Good.
So what I'm going to do is we're going to talk a bit about Viktoria Žižkov. And also, because we are coming up against a top flight side in the Cup, we're going to have a little look into Teplice as well, to make up for the preview already being done. So we have our usual 10:15 on a Sunday kickoff time away to Viktoria Žižkov.
Yep.
Unbelievably inconvenient. Should not distract from the fact that it's probably the best day out you can have in the capital football-wise.
Yes.
I think for those who are interested, the train is at 6:39 on Sunday morning. A wiser move would be to stay overnight to go to that match. That being said, I've spent the last 3 weekends in either Bosnia, Romania, or at a wedding. So in the interest of my own savings account and mental well-being, I will not be making the trip.
Yes, I'm 50-50 on it. I will decide much closer to the time. I'm still, yeah.
Yeah.
Although, yeah, I do like Zhizhkov.
Yeah.
It is a good one.
You get a good pint there, you get your breakfast in exactly, there as well. Yeah, it's all very convivial until, you know, things start not being. But, you know, unlike myself anyway, David, this Borovka team should be well rested. So, international break plus postponement of our fixture with Opava due to a mysterious illness. I don't know if it's actually so mysterious. I just haven't been keeping up with the press releases. Should mean that we're in a good spot to go through and give them a good game. And that would be particularly pleasing as we've lost 4-2 on our last two trips there.
Yes.
So, okay. So like last season, I expected Zhizhkov to do a bit better. And I think that we tipped them quite early to be pretty competitive.
They just faded really badly, didn't they?
Well, this is it. So they had a bit of a rocky start. They consolidated themselves around fourth place from October onwards and looked like they basically would make a run for the playoffs.
Basically, after they played us.
Yes, it was pretty much it. That was exactly the thing when I was looking at the table positions. One reason basically for that is Tomasz Netzy just kept scoring.
Yeah, yeah.
17 goals last season. And then just completely fell off a cliff. They beat Varnsdorf 6-2 on the final day, and that did little to cover up the five losses in a row before that. Yeah. So they found themselves in ninth place, you know, when all was said and done. Very much a what might have been sort of, you know, sort of story, I suppose. Ominously, Zhizhkov are now fourth in the table.
They are fourth, yeah.
Joined on points with us, we have a game in hand, of course. And they've played pretty well. They've done one thing that we couldn't, of course, which is beat Prostyov. But like us, they've had some games that haven't been too much of a test, I would say. So they've also played Ceska Budějovice and Příbram before both of them started hitting form. Příbram have certainly hit form. They've played Kroměříž, who are doing a Varnsdorf from the other season, because they've decided to just lose every league match that they've played in. But on the other hand, it's a slightly humiliating first-round cup exit on penalties to Carlo Vivari of Divise B. Does show that there are flaws within that side.
Slavia Carlo Vivari.
No team in this league is unbeatable. That's why it is the second tier of Czech football. And kind of quite funny, I suppose. Not beating a lower league team seems to have bothered them a little bit.
Right.
So this would explain why they thought it'd be a good idea to go play Klaštorecnad Ohří in a friendly last Wednesday.
just to give them someone to batter.
13-1.
Right? That one really riled them up as well.
Yeah, that's it. So, and I think I think they're. I mean, they're definitely not in the Divise. They are Klaštorec. I think are like 60 or something like that.
I mean, with the name, it might just be some monks in slippers.
You
never know.
I went onto their team's website and got very little information about the club or where they are. So, but yeah. I mean, if we look to the squad a little bit, goals are always good, right? So the loss of Tomasz Nietzsche is massive, if very predictable. 36, you know, still very capable at this level. And, you know, having come up through Slavia's youth system back in the day, very far back in the day, he's opting to presumably see out his career with Slavia B. Having, you know, signed a two-year deal with them now. Nice. So that'll basically see him out.
That just absolutely says, I want to be a coach of Slavia B, doesn't it?
And you need something after football.
Exactly, yeah.
Why not? And it's not like the case of, you know, when like Milan Baroš came back and did a year at like Banik or whatever in the top flight. Like, you know, this is a Slavia look very good. They're a Champions League team. And although he is, you know, regarded very, very fondly by that side, you know, he's given a lot to that team. He's just not going to be in the first team.
Of course not.
You know, makes a lot of sense for him. He can still, you know, sort of contribute sort of there, you know, in that sort of player coach role as you sort of identify. So, you know, all in all, like, if we look at like Zhizhkov's like exits, like they've had a pretty big clear out. So they had about 10 players exited over the summer months. We've seen one of those exited players already, actually, which is Melichar when he was
he went back
to Příbram and by all, you know, all means stopped Borovka scoring another 10 goals.
Yes.
He played very well in that game, actually, despite, you know, conceding quite a lot. And he's actually been replaced by Jan Sirotnik on loan from Slavia. So I don't know if there's something, you know, has sort of happened there. Patrick Brandner is a player I've always admired since his Budjovica days. He's come in on a deal from Zlín. 31 years old, he's still got a good bit of time in those legs.
He's a good solid pro, isn't he?
He is, Brandner, yes. Really. I mean, I still remember that Budjovica game in the top flight when they just ripped us apart with Brandner, scored a brace that day, I remember correctly. Joining him, though, are two former Zbrojovaks, Martin Novi, who we all know about, and Rudolf Reiter, baby.
Mr. Reiter!
I remember when Rudolf Reiter was supposed to be the next big thing.
Yeah. What a coup that felt when we brought him in.
I was never impressed with him when he was here. He ran a lot.
But also, when he wasn't running, he was injured.
Yeah.
Those are his two states, aimlessly running and or injured.
Fond memories of a half-season-long loan 4 years ago.
Yeah.
God, we've been doing this for too long.
Taking the number 7 shirt like a dick.
Yeah. But Martin Novi has become a mainstay in the squad already. He hasn't been out of the starting 11 since he's joined.
I mean, he's a good fullback for this level. He's perfectly solid. Yeah.
He is good. I'll tell you someone who's got a 0% record in the starting 11, however, which is 38-year-old Andre Kudela.
Hey.
Joining from Persija Jakarta.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah, after he was given the racism boot.
Yeah, 3 times Czech League champion, 5 times Czech Cup winner, 1 time massive suspension for racially abusing Glenn Kamara. So, this must be a last hurrah, surely.
Right? Yeah. I mean, he clearly just wanted to move to Prague. You know, back to Prague and nobody else would have him.
Yeah.
Likes red and white. I don't know.
It's turning into a retirement home over that part of Prague, though, because also someone with 0% starts, Zdeněk Ondrášek's here.
Yay.
Victoria Pilsen, FCSB Tromso, Wisla Krakow, retirement home.
Was he not in the States for a bit?
He was.
Ondrášek.
He was a bit.
FC Dallas, I think.
FC Dallas, where he got a surprising call-up, I think it was, to the national
side. That's right, yeah.
And then he actually equipped himself quite well, but I think he only ended up playing like 3 times for them. I don't know the exact figure or whatever. But you will be you'll be very pleased to know as well, David, that big Augusto Batioja is still there.
Yeah.
So, like, I think since 2018 now he's been at that club. Fair play to you. Like, he just seems to love being there. Big Augusto.
Yeah.
The big Ecuadorian.
Yeah.
So,
why not? You know, living in Prague, having a lovely time.
So, yeah. We've struggled with this quite a lot recently, because we go over that. We actually score quite a lot in Žižkov. So we've in the last 3 games, we've scored 8 times there. 7 times, because we've lost 4-2 each time. And then before that, we beat them 3-0 away way back in like 2019 or something like that.
It still feels like a very unhappy hunting ground, though.
Because we can never... We seem to forget about how to defend there as well. And I don't know if this is, again, something to do with these kickoff times.
Or just being in Prague.
But this time, I would like us to... I'd like to think that we'll actually be quite good in this game.
I would actually... be happy with a draw. A score draw would be nice. It'd be nice to score like 1-1 or 1-1 would seem about fair at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, a win, I'll take it. Don't get me wrong. I think it's operation not lose for this and some of the ones coming up. Like, I mean, Jihlava, we should really be beating comfortably. We're going to, go into, an interesting cup game as well. And then we're going to sort of see out, the next few weeks with some really fascinating games as well that will be coming up, where you want to really start putting the pedal to the metal. Where you really want to be, and this is very wishful thinking, of course, is we want to be seeing out the year top 3 minimum.
Yeah.
But you want to be really seeing out the year, like I'd snap off your hand for us being in first with a 4-point cushion. Going into the second half of the season, for example.
Yeah.
So we'll see how we do. We'll see if any of the new lads get some. At least one new lad, possibly another. So we'll see what we do.
Yeah, we'll keep you up to date on that, of course, across the social channels at Sprovcast on Facebook and on the Twitter. And before we go into Teplice, would you like a personally given to us beer of the podcast?
I would love that. David, I think we'll just do traditional on this one. Beer, beer of the podcast.
Beer, as you say, of the podcast.
And I realise it should have been beer of the podcast, but, you know, live, innit?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, no two takes around here, that's
for
sure.
Exactly, yes. We have Liam and Fraser to thank
yes,
for this.
Yes, thank you, Liam and Fraser, long-time Zbrojovka Brno enthusiasts and friends of the podcast.
Yes, and they were in Košice, in Eastern Slovakia, and they brought us Medved Milk Stout.
I do like to drink a lovely milk stout.
It's from Humene.
That's in Slovakia.
Yes. Pivovar u Medvedja namesti Slobody. Because Slovak, of course. Yes. Lol. Not really a language, more of a dialect. That's all our Slovak listeners out there.
Any issues with that? Zbrojovcast at gmail.com.
It is 5.4%. And it has a picture of a sort of cartoon mummified Tutankhamun who looks a bit like one of the people from the They Might Be Giants Mesopotamian video.
I was going to say the mummies in Crash Bandicoot Warped. So
also that.
Very different angles there.
yeah, but there we go.
So thank you, lads, for this beer. And also thank the brewery for making a stout that's not an Imperial Russian Baltic IPA / Porter, which is 14%. Nobody wants it, man. Listen, no, you're listening. No, listen. Nobody wants it, man.
I know you're listening. The brewery industry.
Big brewery.
Right, shall we...
Poslohe!
Yeah.
Yeah, this looks lovely.
Shall we have a go on it? Hold on, what's...
Yes.
Well, it smells of milk stout.
yeah.
Chin.
Another 20 minutes out of the fridge and I think it's better, but it's pretty good.
I took it out of the fridge like two sections ago.
Uh-huh.
So
you've got a good it's kept its kept its chill.
Yes. So that
it's kept its chill, unlike me last time in Zhishkov when that second goal went in.
Well, Fraser recommended 20 minutes before you drink it, and it's been a little bit beyond 20 minutes. Yeah. So, but it's that tastes really, that's nice.
It's good.
There is definitely a sort of coffee.
Yeah, coffee malt chocolate thing. You get in a lot of these you get that. It's very nice. I mean, this is one of these ones that like post match I could like sink three without really thinking about.
It's been. Yeah, about a minute since I had the first sip, and actually, on the back of my tongue now, I can taste like a sort of Quality Street coffee chocolate. Like, there's a slight kind of sugary sweetness to it, which I really like. Because I don't like coffee at all, but I do like coffee sweets. Oh, and that's sort of what this tastes like at the very back of my mouth now.
Yeah, it's nice. It's given you a magic... moment
when two hearts are care. Yeah, bah, 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 bah.
That's exclusively there for people of a certain age that remember that Quality Street advert.
that's us and about seven other people here.
We've got seven listeners. Doing well already. This is good.
Yeah, but lovely. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. We will we'll pay it back in earnest.
Yeah.
Don't know who Ernest is.
Yeah, poor guy. At least he's not John Nettles.
And he poured the fastest milk stout in the West.
I mean, that's for people who are over our certain age as well. Yeah. Dear me. Okay.
this is...
Yeah. Oh, God. Right, shall we...
The boomerization of the podcast.
Right, should we talk about Teplitzer very briefly?
Let's do so. Quick half pager, if you will, on our cup game with Teplitzer, because this is actually a game that might be worth seeing, you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean.
Yeah, good.
You mean seeing?
Yes. Yeah. With the, I can see it in your eyes. I'll stop singing eventually. Tepleys are 15th in the top flight. And that's, safe to say, are struggling.
Absolutely where they always are.
And that's the yeah. So their 3-0 win over Bohemians has been their only win and only points so far this season. That was a while ago. So they look like they're going to be locked in a battle with Pardubice to see who will end up becoming the worst team. A long way to go, of course. And I also think Pardubice are worse. But still, this is you know, a cup game against top-tier opposition and will be a good test for Zbrojovka to see where we're actually at right now. But, you know, Tepleys have, like, historically been a lower half of the table side, sometimes extremely lower half of the table, but one that successfully maintained their top flight status since coming up in 1996.
Also, weirdly consistently good cup team.
Yes, they are, yeah.
Yeah.
They, I mean, they've won the cup.
They have,
of course. I mean, on the other hand, they've you know, they've often looked pretty bad. So, like, I always associate them as a team that doesn't offer too much creatively and are difficult to break down. And this is precisely why, you know, when we've matched with them in the past, we've had some, you know, very difficult games. Again, going back to what we were saying about Zbrojovka not being a team that can really break down opposition so much, you know, when there's stuffy in your face teams, we tend to not react particularly well. I had a quick look at our record between us and Tepleys since 2004.
Yeah.
Oh, it is very amusing. We've got 10 wins each.
Oh,
10
okay.
wins each and 10 and 12 draws.
Huh.
Which, so, I mean, really quite finely balanced. And that makes sense because, again, we have, when we've been up in the top flight, either been relegated or been like 9th or 10th, right? So,
it also absolutely speaks to the particularly kind of early mid-2000s thing of just kind of sacking off away games because you're just a 6-hour bus ride away and you turn up knackered.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, Teplice versus Zbrojovka was one of the furthest games for either team to go.
That's true.
So we would always win here, they would always win there. That's just how it worked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of actually broken. If we look back on the cup, because we played Teplice away in November 22. In the fourth round, when we were both in the same league, and that resulted in a 3-2 after extra time win for the good guys. Now, this is a real trip down memory lane, if you remember, a few years ago. So Jakub Prihistal scored after the first minute before the home side ended up making it 2-1 late into the game with an Alois Hitschka. Remember him?
Oh.
The poisonous dwarf.
The poison dwarf.
On the 80th minute, and at that point, because I remember watching this match and going, well, that's it.
Yeah.
And then a Jakub Rzeźniczek double, 90+4, and then the 106th minute of extra time sent us through to the quarterfinals, where we absolutely bottled it against Cheska Budějovice. Mostly by playing a B team that had Lukáš Rogožan up front. Remember him?
Yes, unfortunately I do.
Still to this day, one of the worst strikers I've ever seen at this club. By the way, he's now at Start Brno and he still can't score.
Good God.
He scored something like 8 goals in the course of 3 seasons.
Wow.
So yeah, but you know, anyway, you know, before going off on a Rogožan tangent, no one really sticks out to be in the Teplice squad. I had a look through the squad today. Maybe, you know, the one thing that looks kind of fun, this 20-year-old Bosnian prospect, Hamza Lukovac. He's a winger. He's on season-long loan from Istanbul Başakşehir.
Mm-hmm.
So he might get some game time as well. Again, going through some of the stuff as well this season, and this might be the reason that they're not winning and leaking some goals, is that they're playing this sort of 3-5-2 with the sort of the wing-backs and stuff like that, and I don't think it's working. So I think this is going to be a big test. What's going to be really interesting is if they play that formation, we're going to have that bundled up in midfield thing always get with them later.
Yeah.
So it could be kind of fun. So we're going to need someone to be able to carry the ball and break out from that and try and get things wide. So again, look, I'm looking forward to this match. I think it'll be a really good test for the team and for the nerves. And look, again, all the pressure's off of us. We're not expected to win the cup. We're not expected to get to a quarterfinal, semi-final, or what have you. So anything we do is a bonus. And it's nice, you know, to just see how well we're matched, I think.
Yeah, it's just also nice to see a game against somebody we haven't played for a while.
Yeah.
You know, just to, you know, rile things up a little bit. So, yeah, good yeah. stuff. That, I think, is about that for us, unless you've got anything else to add.
No, I'm just looking at the clock now, and actually we've come in 10 minutes under our usual... you know, our usual pace, which is
should we just spontaneously write a quiz for the last 10 minutes? Or no?
No, I think no, I'd like to watch some quizzes on the TV.
Yeah, let's do that. Thank you very much for bearing with us, listener. Yeah,
and normal service will now be resumed. I've actually tweeted for the first time in 2 weeks today as well. On this broadcast account, and you can also follow David's far better efforts on his broadcast on Facebook.
For the time being, that will be it. We will speak to you as soon as we logistically can, and until then, thanks very much. Speak to you soon. Ten kraj už je blízko a já cestu znám.
Bye.
Je bílá a jde skotskou plání, jde úbočím skal a lučinami tam, kde se nad loch Lomon stín měkce sklání. Ten kout a ty louky a skály mám rád, tu stráň, co se v zálivu koupá. Má láska se na mě bude smát, tam, kde nad loch Lomon závoj mlh stoupá. Ten kraj už je blízko a já cestu znám, je bílá a jde skotskou plání, jde úbočím skal a lučinami tam, kde se nad loch Lomon stín měkce sklání. Až přijde ten čas, vítr z hor začne vát a v té chvíli kvést bude tráva. Má láska z ní lůžko bude slát, tam, kde sáblo chlamot vrákosí spává. Ten kraj už je blízko a já cestu znám, je bílá a jde skotskou plání, jde hlubočím skal a lučinami tam, kde se nad loch Lomon stín měkce sklání.